I'm into scatting at the beginning of my audio. Hey guys, what's up? It's me, Dangerous ASMR. Holy shit, right? Like, I didn't know it was going to be here, but I'm here in my closet somehow. I know how. Through the power of magic and weed and wine. I'm actually drinking out of the bottle because it's almost empty and no one's here to judge me except you and fuck you and me and fuck me too, right? So, cheers. Yeah, it's one of those friggin' days. I'm telling you, every time I put out a female x female audio, there's somebody in the comments who's got a fucking bitch about the fact that it's not for guys, or like, oh, do you even have any girls in your audience? Like, fuck you, buddy. Seriously? No, they don't exist. We all know females on the internet don't exist. Even I'm a man using a voice modulator, you know? Yeah, I'm a 70-year-old Korean male. A Korean man. I say man. Because I am a Korean man. Some big old swinging balls between my tiny little old man legs. Oh, God, this intro isn't even better. See, I literally had to stop recording because I recorded 15 minutes of me just rambling about fucking nonsense, and I'm really trying to avoid that. I mean, I need to at least start the stories before I ramble about the nonsense. Because, God help me, I will get off topic so badly right now. Motherfucker. Okay, so I hope everybody has had a fantastic fucking week, and I hope to make it a little bit more fantastic by reading some more tragic middle school poems and stories in this fine arts magazine. And hopefully we'll come across Little Dangerous's, I'm sure, absolute work of art. Yes. Just leave it at that. Okay, the poem is Fear is a Battle. Fear is a battle. A battle between loneliness and acceptance. A battle between love and hate. A battle between my heart and my soul. Fear is a battle. Happiness is love. Courage is a brave lion. Fear is a battle. Loneliness is a shield. And embarrassment is a curse. Ah, so deep. Okay. That's so deep. Embarrassment is a motherfucking curse. I mean, like, my family has been cursed for, like, 1,000 generations to have embarrassment. Nobody else feels embarrassment, as I've been told. It's only I that have the embarrassment curse. You would all not understand my problems. Like, when I have to listen back to this, and I have to listen back to this later, I have to hear myself and realize this is me. And the curse, it hits me again. The embarrassment curse. Fuck. This is the body I'm stuck in, you guys. You wouldn't understand. My life is horrible. It's horrible, darling. I used to be a star, you see. And now I drink wine in the afternoon. Why do I kind of sound like Stewie? I'm done with this. I'm done. I can't keep. Okay. I'm in it. I'm in it to win it. And the next poem is What Nobody Knows About Snow. Did he pee in it? They'll probably know unless you've been, like, drinking so much water. In which case, like, that's a lot of water. Good job. Here's your fucking medal. Stop thinking you're better than me because you drink so much water. I drink water sometimes. Like, when it rains and accidentally drops into my mouth. My tears. I'm like a tree emo kid. My tears. Those are a little salty, though. I don't think those could keep me alive. Okay, when nobody knows about snow, it's made of water. Because you're stupid. You're stupid. That's not what it is. I look up at the sky. into the gray sheet of clouds, holy sheet, from which many small white specks fall. I apologize for that noise. These tiny white dots. I'm losing my narrator voice. Hold on. I'm going to get it back. These tiny white dots fall to the ground, covering me with a blanket of cold, wet ice. But this blanket is far more than just that. It is rather a thing with a mind of its own. Snow to the naked eye is just something that falls to the earth like a feather in the wind. But what that naked eye does not know, something that nobody knows about snow, is that it is truly a living being. It turned the frogs gay. Okay, not the frogs gay part, but he said it is that it's truly a living being. What? 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 Did this kid watch Frozen and was like, it's true? He's like, guys, you don't. Did you fucking hear about Olaf? Holy shit. Snow is alive. And we drink it. We drink the liquid form of it. It's like if there were creatures that drank liquid human, like they melted them down and drank them. Would you befriend them? I sure as fuck would not. And his arms, they burn his fucking arms and eyes and they eat his nose. Think about it. We're barbarians. Thank God I'm above it all. And I drink my wine out of a bottle like a lady, not out of a bag. Like you would. I apologize. You're fantastic. Thank you for listening to this garbage. Okay. Life is like a waterfall. Uh-huh. Do tell. Don't go chasing waterfalls, you know? Life is like a waterfall, always flowing stronger the next day, growing older every minute. Wait a minute. Life is like a waterfall, always flowing stronger the next day. I don't think that's true of waterfalls. Could you imagine over time it's like a high pressure hose? Anything gets under the waterfall, it just shears it in half. Because it's growing stronger, we can't stop it. Eventually it will burrow into the earth's core. Goddamn waterfalls. You damn dirty falls. This was our planet. Okay. Growing older every minute. That is a old fucking waterfall. Life is like a waterfall. Always running. The more it runs, the longer it gets. The more our heart is alive, the longer we live. Thanks, doctor. Good news, Mr. Johnson. Your heart is alive. You're going to live longer, like a waterfall. Oh. So wait, is life like a waterfall? It gets stronger every day until it abruptly ends, never to resume. Okay, wait. Life is like a waterfall. Until it dries up. When a waterfall dries up, it's like a soul leaving the body it lives in. If life is like a waterfall, then what a beautiful life we have. You guys, that is the most apt fucking metaphor. And the thing is, too, I was friends with this girl. I don't remember her, but she, like, signed her name next to the poem, so I must have been friends with her, of the very few friends I had. I was friends with the girl who wrote the worst poem we've seen so far, and I'm including San Francisco and hot dog in those recommendations. This poem was just absolute nonsense. And I love it so much for that. Good God, I would still be fucking friends with this girl. Thank you. On a starry night. How does it shine, looking so sublime? On a starry night, I want to take a flight. But how far do I fly into the sky to get to the moon? I hope soon. So she wants to go to the moon. And the end. I want to fly to the moon. How long would it take me to get to the moon? I hope that I will find out soon. Okay. Ooh. If summer was a person. Well, technically, summer is a name, so summer can be a person. If summer was a person, If summer was a person, he would light up the darkest alley with the tip of his finger. If summer was a person, he would smell like fresh spring water and shine like the sun. He wouldn't be shy or too gay. He would just be perfect in every way. I have to say, though, like, extremely gay can be pretty close to perfect. I myself enjoy being gay. And I enjoy a gay day. So he would just be perfect in every way. Yeah. Summer's gay, but not too gay, you know? He's like your average gay. Not your, like, super flamboyant gay. So that's summer. Wait, does that suggest that there is a season that is flamboyantly gay? Ooh, what season would that be? What would be the gayest season? Winter? And winter's got a lot better options for accessorizing. If we're going, like, absolute stereotypical flamboyant gay. Okay, I know everybody's different. Blah, 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 blah. What I'm saying is it's a much better season for accessorizing. You can't accessorize much with, like, shorts, you know? Mm-hmm. All right, here's the next poem, and it's got a fantastic title. Things. Hard is easy in a not easy way. That's fun is something you're doing. And debatable. Run is very fast. No, it's absolutely not. You have not seen me run. And by run, I mean attempt to run. It's just like a giraffe, but like a really, really weak giraffe. That's mildly retarded. That's what I look like when I'm run. Okay. Neat is a cool object. Now, that is absolutely not necessarily true. Dumb is something that nobody likes. Hey now, don't insult me. Hot is the sun times two. No, I disagree. Things much colder than the sun are actually still extremely hot. If you don't believe me, turn your oven on to 500 degrees and try to, you know, put an arm in there after it's preheated. Tell me if it's cold, because it's not the sun. Definitely not the sun times two. Oh, cold is the snow falling on a winter day. Now, this guy is disproportionate in his decisions of what hot and cold is. Cold is a snowy day, and hot is two suns? Two fucking suns worth of heat versus the snow on a winter day? I thought it would be like the icy hell of my mother's heart. Although, really, for like an eighth grader, that would have been a fucking burn to his mom. Cold is knowing that you are my parents forever. Oh, I'm not done. Shit. Easy is something fun. Okay, so this kid's a lazy fuck because nothing that's difficult is fun. Gotcha. Love is two people attached. Where are they attached? The genitals. Or genital mouth, you know. Or, I guess, hand to genitals. Or, like, object to person to object to person. Oh, it's like a chain of people. Ignore me. Okay, let's go. This one's called The Wall. As you walk up, you can barely make out what names are on the wall. As you get closer, the blurry letters seem to make out names. Names that are familiar and names that are not. The thing that would stand out of all those names is bravery. I'm assuming it's like a memorial for like fallen soldiers, but my question is, how far away are you from this wall that the letters are blurry? You should probably see a doctor for your vision problem because, yes. Bravery. Seattle. I've been to Seattle. In the morning, I hear the shuffle, people setting up shop, banging fruit-filled carts. I smell intoxicating aromas, breads, muffins, and pastries. I feel like she is trying to sell us on Seattle. Freshly baking in the little cafes, the cold, crisp air whips at my face as I stroll along the sidewalk, taking in the strong, salt air. I look up to see the high buildings stretching to the sky, threatening, daring to touch the heavens. And then I sigh and say, I'm home. Like, got real dramatic at the end. Like, how are they threatening the sky? That is not make sense. Oh, okay. This is a story. It's boogie boarding? It has three question marks. That's pretty intense. When you see a boogie board, it looks safe. Great buoyancy with a strap attached to your wrist. What could go wrong? I mean, drowning, for one. That's a pretty big one. I guess the boogie board could not be a boogie board at all. It could be a sexual predator disguised as a boogie board, but I find that fairly unlikely. But if he managed to pull it off, it's either a very stupid victim or a very convincing costume, in which case, brah fucking though. That's good job for you, Mr. Sexual Predator. The first time I went boogie boarding, it was fun. The waves lapped quietly at my feet when I stepped in the water. My dad showed me how to go over the waves. They gently bumped your board and then they were gone. When you got far enough out, you waited for a big, strong wave. Then you turned around, closed your eyes, and paddled as hard as you could, which wasn't very hard because I didn't have flippers. Oh, it became him instead of you. The wave would carry you for a while, then leave to go splashing at the kids' feet on shore. Then you head out and repeat the whole process again. It was a great day. I only lost my board once, just for a few seconds. It feels like an annoying story a kid would tell you when you're like, okay, yeah, and you're just waiting for them to leave so you can look at your phone again. It's me, like, every day. I'm around a child. Did I know that would... I only lost my board once, just for a few seconds. Little did I know that would soon change. The next day, my family decided to try a new beach. We went a few miles away from the first beach to Surfer Beach. Ooh, that sounds fancy. The new beach was rocky and the waves were stronger. I started the same ritual as the day before, but when I prepared to ride the wave, something went wrong. The wave crashed over my head and engulfed me. It sent me spinning head over heels to shore. I tried to swim up for air, but the boogie board held me down. The board was caught in an undertow. You know what? This is actually interesting. I'm interested because I think this actually happened to a kid. This kid, because he said I instead of you. I was hurled over rocks, tumbling into shallower water. The wave threw me into some kid's leg. I like that. The wave threw me into some kid's leg. He jumped aside from shock. I stood up shivering and spitting out salt water. I hobbled to the empty chair near my mother and wrapped myself in a Minnie Mouse towel. That is the cutest thing. Oh my God. From there, I watched bitterly as everyone enjoyed the waves. I like the idea of him scowling at the ocean. You motherfucker. Soon I was back skipping on the shore, letting the waves wet my toes. After only 10 minutes, I was back on my board and ready to try again. I might have still been a little shaken up because the first wave I attempted to ride threw me on the shore like a piece of seaweed. I decided that was enough for one day. I didn't go in the water again. On the way back home, my dad found the calmest beach he could, but my spirit for boogie boarding had died. Well, it was pretty fast. The only waves I rode were the ones no one else could see. Wait, what? Wait, like the waves were so small no one saw them, or they were like mental waves? Is that a thing? Brain waves? Everyone rides brain waves. Okay. If any really big waves came along, I ran to shore because I'm a little pussy bitch. The rest of the time, I played on shore or stood in the shallow water letting the waves dance around me. It was a vacation to remember, though boogie boarding wasn't for me. Maybe I'll try to ride the waves next time. Very dramatic boogie boarding incident. I was excited at first, and then I realized it was extremely boring until he said he hit some kid's leg, and then it was fantastic again. I give it an 8 out of 10. Okay, next poem. Next poem is called Hunting. My dad fills the truck with food and ammo. We dress in bright hats and army green camo. It's 4 a.m. without a wink of sleep. The campsite is the destination we seek. Our guns shine black, our hopes are gold. As we pray... okay. As we prepare to hunt... like the Indians of old. Okay. The truck wakes the trail made of dust and stone. Yet we only have 2 days. Yet we only have 2 days before we go home. Why is that yet we only have 2 days? Why not and? Whatever. I'm not the teacher. We arrive late, set camp, and scout our grounds, waiting for the big hunt the next morning to come around. Dark appears, with legs sore, asleep we fall. Okay, Yoda, what the fuck? Dreaming, we were the stars, who can scout it all. My eyes wake wide with the reek of deer scent. Fucking gross. Stop having sex with deer. That's why. And a spot of sunlight peaks through the tent. Okay, here's a question. It's probably a really fucked up question, but I know like you can buy like musk, right? Like deer musk, you know what I mean? To like attract deer. Here's the question. Could you Pavlov train a human to be attracted to deer musk by like only letting them orgasm when they smelled the musk? And then they would become attracted to deer musk as if they were deer themselves. It's a fucked up thing, but I'm pretty sure you could. I'm pretty sure you could trigger somebody to be aroused by deer musk. Humanity really is doomed. Okay. Yeah, and a spot of sunlight peeks through the tent. The equipment is set and war begins. We hunt with cold hearts and awaiting grins. That's fucked up. In the corner of my eye, I spot a great buck. It's a great fuck. Hunters cock guns, kneel, and are wished a good luck. Bang, bang, bang. Go the guns shining black. Bullets sail through the air without looking back. Well, no bullet looks back. What bullet will look back? Boomerang bullet? It just like, whoosh, and then just comes back and kills you. Like, what a terrible fucking bullet. Let's say, Gabriel sends his soldiers down from above the clouds, holding shields of savior to protect that which makes God proud. With angels' fingers crossed, the dust settles clear, and we plainly see we'll go home empty-handed this year. So is he, wait a minute, is he saying God intervened to save the deer? And if God intervened to save the deer, doesn't that mean we shouldn't be shooting deer? If God is real and God intervened and didn't want the deer to die, what greater purpose do those deer have? Maybe God just didn't like you. I mean, that's a pretty weak excuse. Could you fucking imagine? You'd be like, I'm sorry, I didn't catch anything. It was fucking God again? Ugh. Such an asshole. He keeps saving them with his stupid savior shield. Such a fucking dick. Like, I really need those deer. You guys, I had an awaiting grin. And I waited for nothing. I ain't a-waiting for no one. Okay, this will probably be the last thing you read because it's a story. And the title, oh, the title, I am so excited. It's called That Rabid Feeling. Is it about a person turning rabid? Because that would be kind of fantastic. I think that I'm getting too excited. I don't think it's actually going to be like that, but okay. That rabid feeling. It was an average busy day at the federal CIA building as opposed to the state-level CIA building. People were trotting around. They were centaurs. Office to office, busily making phone calls, investigating files and data, and checking out maps. That's what people, if people ask what you do for work, just copy this statement. Oh, I make phone calls, investigate files and data, and I check out maps. I just check them out. I just go, hey, you see that over there? It's a map, bitch. Not a minor attracted person. Have you heard of that shit? That's another acronym for MAP. Heard about that? I can never hear MAP the same way. Fucking sickos. Okay. Tim Bulk, the head of the CIA. His name's Tim Bulk? Damn. Permanently bulking. Tim Bulk, the head of the CIA. Yeah, he's not Bulk. There's only one of him. Tim Single, the head of the CIA, spoke up on the loudspeaker. Ronald Escanate. Yeah, Ronald Escanate. Report to my office pronto. That's very professional, boomed his loud voice. Ronald McDonald. That's all I can think. Ronald reluctantly entered the boss's office, closing the door gently and carefully. Ronald, I've called you here to assign you a mission in Iraq, the boss told Ronald with a reassuring smile. You're definitely not going to die there, buddy. Seeing as you're one of the most secretive agents I know, your mission is quite simple. You must locate their secret missile silo and destroy it. Which one? Which fucking one? Their singular secret missile silo? I think you're pretty fucking optimistic there, pal. Good old Tim Single. It is located somewhere in the southern part of Iraq. What is this fucking Where's Waldo? You'll know it by its sweater and its hat. And don't get fooled, you have to all make sure it has glasses, too. The Iraqis plan on bombing Lebanon, our ally. Things that I'm glad that he has to remind him. Like, but wait, army, no, it's our ally. I will give you a holographic digital map on your watch of the exact location. You got all that?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's a terrible voice. I don't want to do that. I take it back. Yes, sir, Ronald replied. When will I be leaving? That's a horrible voice, too. Fuck it. He's put whatever voice to say he has.
Tomorrow at 2 a.m. sharp by plane.
As opposed to by car? By warp technology? By slithering on the ground like a very large snake? I think plane is probably what I would expect.
You will fly over the barren and
wait, what?
You will fly over the barren and tomorrow 5 a.m. and skydive down. Your parachute is pretty resistant against
gunfire. That is not a good enough. Pretty resistant? That is the least scientific description I've ever heard. Could you imagine? They're like, hey, officer, you know, your vest is bulletproof. Well, pretty bulletproof. What the fuck does that mean? Yeah, it stops them. It does a pretty good job. What's your metric for pretty good? Pretty resistant against gunfire.
Also, before you leave, you'll be equipped with two silences.
Two silences. Not silencers. I'm guessing it's a card you can pull that makes people be silent, because that would be really handy in day-to-day life.
Five hand grenades, a hook shot, and remote mines. For hard to open doors, or if you want to nicely smash down walls.
I like that nicely smash down walls.
You'll also receive a door decoder, liquid nitrogen spray, and a high-powered laser installed in your watch. You have a cell phone, so call us when the mission is completed. A chopper will be there in minutes for your dispersal.
Thanks, Chief. That's all I wanted to know. It's 4 p.m. now, so I should sleep. I should sleep at about 8 p.m. I'm glad that he tells him his sleeping plans.
You're You'd better get home and rest while you can. Goodbye.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. With that, Ronald went to his office, packed up, and went home. At the appointed hour the next day, Agent Escante departed, heavy laden with all of his equipment. He entered the large plane and strapped himself down. Before the door to the plane was closed, Mr. Bulk ran over to Reginald.
Going on a pretty death-defying mission, aren't you?
Wait, he just told him he has to do it. What a fucked up thing to say. Hey, isn't it true you're going on that really crazy mission that's probably going to kill you? That I totally sent you on, and I obviously know that you're going on the fucking mission we just talked about this yesterday? Asshole. Or he's got some kind of dementia. That is also very worrying if you're going on a mission for him.
I guess so, Ronald replied with a warm smile. They're going to fuck. Remember, when you find the silo, rub it real good. And actually see the missile. You must set one remote mine on the missile and get 300 yards away from the entrance above ground, then blow it.
Mr. Bulk explained as the door was starting to close.
Oh, and Ronald, come back alive. I'm not into necrophilia.
Those were the last words that Ronald heard from Tim Bulk before his dangerous trip. Ronlad. I know it's a mistyping, but Ronlad, I love it. If I was named Ronald, my nickname wouldn't be just Ron. It'd be Ronlad. That's like a really shitty rapper's name.
Yo, what's up, bitch? It's Ronlad.
Oh, Ronlad. Ronlad wondered if he would ever hear his boss's voice or anyone else's voice again. At about 4:50 a.m., Ronald was flying over Iraq. I wonder who that Ron lad was who just, like, made a one-sentence appearance. 5,000 feet above. Okay, Agent Escante, jump, signaled the pilot from the front. So he obviously did hear someone else's voice again before he died, so he's good. We're at proper airspace. Go. Okay, replied Ronald. Okay. That's so laid back. As the back hatch opened, making it extremely gusty in the plane, Ronald slipped, falling on his back, banging up his parachute pack. I don't have good feelings about Ronald. He started to slide towards the opening of the plane, then a swift air current whooshed him out of the plane into the air, falling down, down. When he reached about 2,500 feet, he pulled at his ripcord. Nothing. He pulled again, and still, it didn't open. He remembered that when he fell in the plane, he banged up his pack, and now it would cost him his life if he didn't do something about it. He got so frustrated that he grabbed his parachute pack with both of his hands and ripped open the pack, making the parachute come out and safely dropping him to the ground. He made it. He checked his map and found where the opening was. He opened up what appeared to be something like the covering of a sewer line. There were bars on the side of the tunnel leading down. Ronald took a deep breath and entered the secret base of the missile silo. That was fast. How did he figure out that was a missile silo? Like, wait a minute. Did they honestly drop him so close to the missile silo that he literally, like, walked feet over to it? Because that's incredible. That is incredible targeting. When he reached the bottom, it was cool and damp, and he was standing in what appeared to be a control room for the missile silo. There were two men working on the computers, busily typing away. Ronald pulled out one of his silencers and stealthily moved toward the workers. He noticed that the only door in the room, which most likely led to the missile, had a safety lock on it. Well, I mean, yeah, general safety, but just a lock? Like, what kind of lock? Like a door lock? Or just like I'm picturing like a master lock you can just cut off with, darn it, I don't have the key, I guess I'll just give up. Let's see, shit. With a sharp blow, with the handle of his pistol to one of the workers' neck, he knocked him out. Damn, badass. He then quickly but quietly put the tip of his silencer to the neck of the other worker.
If you follow my instructions, I'll let you live.
Ronald whispered into the Iraqi worker's ear.
Now then, I would
The Iraqi worker slowly got up and went toward the door. Ronald watched him as he typed in the number code of 1369. Way to give up the guy's code, and that's also a really dumb code. The worker stepped back from the door as the door said in a tiny voice, "Access granted." It didn't say tinny, it said tiny. "Access granted." It's a really weird door code, but what the fuck ever. They got it on a discount. Seconds later, the door unlocked and opened. "Thank you for your cooperation. I really must be going," Ronald softly told the worker, then slammed the guy at the base of the neck with his gun again, knocking him out. That is a really big dichotomy between, "Okay, buddy, I guess I'll see you later," and "Hi-ya!" Knock that fucker out. Ronald ran out the door to find two guards with guns. Zap, zap went his silenced gun as he shot both guards. He's an alien from the future with crazy laser guns. Stop him now. He ran through a series of hallways, shooting all of the guards as he ran. That's an impressive laser gun. Finally, he found a security door just like the one he saw in the first room. Because the people that coded it were stupid, he quickly typed in the code 1369. The door unlocked and opened. Before he went inside, he picked up a machine gun from one of the felled guards. He ran inside and saw a huge missile about 40 feet high. Guards in the room opened fire on him as he dove behind a metal crate. I feel like that would not fucking work. He quickly tumbled across the floor, shooting at all the guards, taking them all down. For fuck's sake, this guy. He's an impressive motherfucker. He made sure that no one was left, and three remote mines at the... It says three written out, and then three the number. So 33 or 33 remote mines at the base of the missile, and ran all the way to the tunnel leading back up to the opening of the barren land. He looked back and saw 10 guards coming through the hallway. As fast as he could, he darted up the bars and got to the top of the tunnel. Gasping for air, he pulled himself up out of the tunnel onto the sandy landscape. Suddenly, in the heat of the moment, Ronald was overcome with a rabid feeling. Finally! Did he suddenly turn rabid? His eyes widened. He began sweating even more than he was before. What if this ended like Cujo? He pulled out all his remaining explosives and threw them down the tunnel. As he threw the explosives, he managed to get a glimpse of the soldiers below. For one moment, Ronald's conscience took hold of him and he felt sad, but his feeling was quickly erased. I like that he wrestles with his conscience for like a half a second. It's like, oh God, they have families. Fuck their families! Burn in hell, infidels! That's pretty much what I'm picturing. It was erased in a second. And Ronald proceeded to detonate all of the explosives without a thought. Fucking cold. Ronald ran to a safe distance and detonated the explosives on the missile. Well, yeah, you just told us that. This was the part Ronald always loved. He is a psychopath. All of his fondest memories, for as long as he could remember, entailed a mushroom cloud of destruction. He was rabid all along. The ground ruptured as shards of rock and metal propelled through the air, eventually plummeting in all directions. A tear of joy came to Ronald's eyes. He realized that he had just completed his mission. Ronald pulled out his cell phone and signaled to Tim, who the fuck is Tim, that his mission was completed. Shortly there... Oh, right, Tim Balk. Fuck, I'm high. Shortly thereafter, a chopper arrived, and Ronald grabbed onto the dangling ladder that had been dropped from the chopper. Ronald let out a hearty chuckle as he flew into the sunset. Oh, my God. So his conscience takes hold of him for a split second. Then he's like, nah, fuck it. Detonates it and lets out a hearty chuckle? Holy fuck. Ronald is a problem. He is a problem. He's a sociopath. Ronald. God. We didn't get to my poem, you guys. It's a travesty. What are we going to do? I guess we're just going to have to make fun of more kids next week. You know? I mean, if you're okay with that. I'm okay with that. I'm going to do it anyway, so Just like female x female. I'm going to do it anyway. So if you tell me, don't make more of these, I'm going to make like so many more. I'm going to not only roast all of them, I'm going to roast them all again a second time, specifically for people who don't like it. And for them to just take their sad little feelings and shove them up their sad little assholes. Of the end. God, that was bitchy. Okay, so that's it, you guys. Thank you so much for listening to me. I mean, really, like, bearing with me. I feel like I was particularly obnoxious this time. That's probably every time you're telling me. Every time, Dangerous. You're just more aware. Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening. I had a really awesome time, and I will talk to you next week. I love you guys. Bye. Mwah.